Hello and welcome to this Piecast from Southsea's favourite record cafe, Pie and Vinyl. I'm James Sandy, and round the table are a bunch of reprobates to help me delve through some of the great sounds that have been out so far this year. I've got Steve.
Hello, I'm free at last.
Daniel.
Hello.
And Rad.
Hi, hi.
And we're going to start by looking at some of the great things that we found in January 2014. It's already behind us. Steve, what's been your choice album? What's been worrying you this month?
We are, Pie Vinyl, looking forward to the year 2014 immensely. But it's now an 11-month year as opposed to a 12-month year. That, as you say, just starting with that, first month of the year has flown by. And yes, I have kind of delved into my biggest passion, purchasing records. And I'm really torn between two that stood out for me in January. Very obvious choices. But I'll start with the beautiful looking and sounding Wall Paint. It's a real slow burner of a record for sure. It's to me very jam based. It's like they've jammed these songs out. They played at the Witch Rooms actually probably a couple of years ago, and the encore was essentially one long jam. Very, very slow burning, not an immediate listen. But yeah, very rewarding. It is just now. Some of those songs are sinking in. Some of those beautiful melodies, they just ebb and flow. There's no real structure or classic structure to their songs.
It's something I've been listening to quite a lot actually, and I think it's representative of at the moment a kind of electro mood. A number of records that have come out in January have had a real kind of electro twist. There's a real, whether there's a sound for 2014 emerging now already, I don't know. It's probably too early to say that.
I think that was very much a sound for 2013, 2012, 2000. You know, guitar seems to be dead.
Too expensive, maybe.
Maybe. Count on one hand the great guitar bands that have really emerged in the last sort of 2 or 3 years. But Wall Paint, before they kind of made this album, they apparently were listening to a lot of hip hop, a lot of kind of R&B, and do you know what, that kind of comes across, it really does, in their kind of lazy, hazy jams.
There's some really nice kind of dual vocal effects on some of it. Some of the tracks I like, there's Love Is To Die is probably the track that is probably most known by them, and which is just, there's a very odd lyric in it, it doesn't really make sense, but you know, let's not mark it out for that, because many songs don't make sense. But the other song I really liked is Biggie. There's a track called Biggie. I'm not entirely sure what that's about. I don't think it's about a large hip-hop star, but I like it. I like the mood. It feels nice, that record. It's produced by Flood and Nigel Godrich. So it's got some good kind of it's got some good people involved in it. And you said it looks, you said it's a beautiful looking record. And you mentioned its cover, which is a Chris Cunningham, I think.
It is a Chris Cunningham photograph. Yeah, you know, they've obviously,
we're all looking up to see it now.
Yeah, I just mean the actual band members. You know, they're quite easy to look at as well. But you know, it's don't expect 10 undertones. An incredible song, but yeah, you know, that hip hop element, the beats. It's sort of like taking Brooklyn in the East Side days and making it live and goa or something like that. It's kind of I can see the hip hop element. So yeah, Wall Paint, thoroughly recommended. Second one is Mogwai, again a pretty easy and obvious choice. Slightly panned critically in certain sections for almost sounding like Mogwai, which I've never really understood.
And that's called Rave Tapes.
It's called Rave Tapes, yeah, which I don't know is if that's a them having a bit of fun or it really is a reflection of a more electronic sound. There is an element of their label mates' errors sound in there, but it's still, you know, it's just incredibly easy to listen to. And I don't know, I just always connect with Mogwai. They just do something to me, they put my head in a good place. So for that reason, I love them, always will do, and it's one of my favourite Mogwai records.
I think those are two positive musical confusions to point people towards.
Absolutely, get confused.
Get confused. Let's move to Daniel now. What have you been listening to? What's stuck out?
Well, my January's been I've been quite distracted by listening to Neil Young cassettes in my car, so I haven't really been paying much attention to new music. But one thing I have,
I think it's always new every time you listen to it, isn't it? That's the idea.
Well, I just came across a big hoard of cassette tapes the other day, and Neil Young's Crazy Horse is in there, and I just enjoy your driving around listening to that at the moment.
It is, as we speak, the year, the Chinese New Year of the horse.
Is there?
There's a link there,
yeah.
See?
Ah.
Yeah. But anyway, go on.
In terms
do
of new...
Do you have your windows down and you sort of rev your engine and the lights as well? But
I have been known to do that.
But
only,
the window.
But it's kind of... That's kind of started because last year, ended last year, I bought the Neil Young vinyl, the Sellers release. And I've been still on my record player now. But in terms of like January releases, the Guardian Alien record, I kind of fell into them by accident really, because I'm a big Lightning Bolt fan. But the thing about that is I'm not as young as I used to be, and I can't really listen to it for very long. I'm like starting to feel a bit sick.
Right.
And kind of got Guardian Alien, a kind of like more listenable version, a bit more. Well, kind of like Steve said. Traditional structure isn't really there, but there's a bit more of a concrete idea of a song with these guys, and
kind of a bit more of a Kit Kat finger than a Gatto. Is that what you're saying?
Maybe they're like a psychedelic garage rock band. Drummer is just incredible, really underrated and understated. I think I wouldn't say it's an easy listen, this record, but it's kind of. I can get through it, you know, and I just enjoy listening to it in the background when I'm doing stuff, and I just love the kind of it's kind of echoey vocals, and it reminds me of like a lot of 60s, 70s psych stuff that I used to like. I don't know if any of you guys have heard it. Have you?
Yeah, I'm aware of Guardian Alien. I mean, I just wanted to touch on the cover.
Yeah,
it's almost like a photo from a staple dormitory in every sort of student. Block in the country, I think.
The music videos are kind of very of the time as well at the moment. You know, the kind of VHS, lo-fi videos, like Pulled Apart by Horses, fuzzy kind of stuff, yeah. And it's just like they're having good fun. But I just love that kind of psychedelic rock stuff, and it's not too self-indulgent either, which I quite like. So that's as far as like new records for this month. That's as close as I've got, because Neil Young just keeps taking up my time, really.
I think that's a good excuse, to be honest,
and
a fine swerve. And we should mention, one of Neil Young's kind of comrades, David Crosby, had an album out in January called Cross.
I thought you were going to say he's dead.
No, he's not dead. He's still very much alive. I think the vital signs are there, at least. So, anyway, from that swerve, let's now move to Rad. Rad, what's been turning on your turntable?
It's actually been quite an expensive month for me this month, which has been great.
I wonder why you went at tenner earlier on.
Yeah, well, still haven't given it to me.
Yeah.
So I definitely got to concur with Steve when it comes to Mogwai's album. I mean, like you said, reviews, strange. They don't seem like a band to me that kind of need to reinvent themselves every time they release a new album. And one of the things I love about Mogwai and post-rock specifically is the consistency, and they are consistently great. Which kind of ties in neatly with the artist I picked, I guess, on my mantle this month, which would be The Seal of Mount Zion.
Oh, I've heard that. That sounds really good.
How to name it? Should we say F off? Poor light over everything.
Such a great title.
Yeah, brilliant title. Artwork's phenomenal as well. And I mean, everything you get from Constellation is the real deal anyway. So, you know, you slide it out and there's just fold out after fold out after fold out. No tiny pennies that have been crushed by trains in this one, which I was a bit disappointed at. But, you know, the artwork on the front cover is thought-inducing. It's just bemusing. And, you know, I'm not going to go into too many details about what I see when I look at it, because it's dark.
Does it lure you into kind of repetitive listening? Is that the idea?
The record does that. Maybe not the artwork. If somebody handed me that record and didn't tell me what it was, I'd probably put it down again.
Everyone, if you're listening, have a look.
The powers of audio.
But, you know, I just found it to be, I guess it contrasts to Mogwai in the sense that, like, the consistency isn't something that you can associate with a Silver Man's Arm, because I guess their back catalogue is kind of a journey, really. They started in one place, and this everything that they've released so far has led them into this position, into this album, and it's great, it really is. It's harsh, abrasive, and it's like a propulsive record that kind of just pushes you through. I mean, if you're familiar with the Constellation label, and obviously where the key members of Silver Man's Arm come from, you'll be a Godspeed You Black Emperor fan, and it isn't a Godspeed record. You know, it doesn't. The musicianship's there, but the message isn't. You know, the message is altogether much more in your face and much more punk orientated, which is cool. You know, it's Side A is kind of like a, it's got like an unyielding blitz of kind of punk to it, and you know, it feels great in that sense, but then you flip it over and the actual message of the record starts to pour through. And I'd say like the message I took from that song's playing chopsticks on the piano. the message I took was, yeah, what kind of life are we leaving behind for our children, which as always with that crowd, you know, deep thought there. So
you've listened to that record a lot.
I have.
I can tell.
It's quite a long record.
Do you know, it's not as long as you'd expect it to be,
yeah,
given the ilk, but some of the tracks are quite short, but there's a few 10-minuters on there.
Right.
So, I mean, I think it's actually only a 6 or 7-track album, but obviously when their tracks are 10 minutes long, it's, you know, a good length. It's a good length. So, yeah, it's a great record, and I'm super chuffed with it. So, yeah.
Excellent. Well, there's been lots of new stuff kicking around. There's always new stuff kicking around, isn't there?
Yeah, the machine is well and truly started now, I think. So
it's,
yeah,
it's all coming our way. And I've been very lucky this month, in fact, because the album I purchased is Samantha Crane and her album Kid Face, which I didn't know a great deal about Samantha Crane. And then she did a fabulous in-store here at Prime Vinyl.
She was great.
Such a darling. Did you see that? Smoothness.
Smooth. It's almost like we planned it, isn't it? Now, there are elements as well, I think, of Neil Young's work in her work, which is good. And I was fortunate enough to get time to chat with her. So we've got a quick interview with her and one of her tracks that she played here in the shop. So I'm joined by Samantha Crane. Samantha, all the way from Oklahoma.
Yes.
You're an Okie, is that right? Is that what they say?
Yeah. That used to be kind of a bad term to call people, but I'm totally an Okie. It's fine.
Is it a positive thing now?
I wouldn't say it's not like necessarily completely positive. It's one of those things where an Okie is kind of the less refined the Oklahomans.
Rough edges.
Yeah, but I'm all right with that.
Excellent. Now, you totally played an amazing set earlier on. It sounded great.
Thank you.
And I said to you earlier, I've been listening to your music most of this week. It reminds me of a number of things, but it has a very kind of warm, authentic feel. And I'm interested kind of how you got started. Like, one of the things I read was that you taught yourself how to play the guitar. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, only because I'm incredibly stubborn. My dad plays guitar, and so does his brother. But I it was one of those things where, like, I was not interested in it at the time that they wanted me to be interested in it, I think, or like tried to teach me. And
you were sitting down with kind of Burt Whedon books, that kind of thing, or was it?
With what?
With Burt Whedon, have you come across him?
No, who's that?
Is it the giant of self-taught guitar?
Oh, no, I mean, by the time I had like a book, it was like a Learn Bob Dylan songs book. Which is really good because it was like 4 chords.
I think it's even more impressive that you haven't heard of Burt Whedon.
No.
So you've gone a completely different route.
I did go a completely different route. I haven't seen it. Is it like older?
60s, 70s, I guess.
Oh, okay.
So it's out there. Go Google it.
Okay,
well. So you can find it somewhere.
Yeah.
So I also read that you kind of started with storytelling. But storytelling and songwriting are very similar. But
yeah.
You are singing songs, but you're telling quite personal stories in some of the things that you're writing about.
Yeah, well, the first EP that I did and the first album that I did, most of them were pretty, like, based on, like, character, like, intense sort of, like, character studies. Because before I started writing songs, I was... I mean, ever since I was like 9 or 10, I've been writing like little short stories. I don't know, my mom would like buy me these blank journals and I would just write. They weren't even very good stories. They were basically just like I would make up a character and then kind of tell every detail about their life. Like it was just basically like a really intense character sort of brief and study. And so that's kind of what I was doing before I got into writing songs. And then I think whenever I started writing songs, or when I started singing and playing guitar, I decided that there were a lot of these stories or like character development things that I had done that could be kind of like turned into songs. And so there were five stories that I was working on, and I was gonna actually like self-publish them in like a tiny like book as like a series. And before I even got to that point, I ended up like shortening them and putting them into songs, and then that was my first EP.
So they kind of naturally became songs.
They were the first ones that I did that I was like, oh, these can be songs. And since that was about the time that I was like teaching myself how to play guitar and stuff, so.
There's a couple of places, kind of geographical places you mentioned as you were playing your set. Oklahoma, obviously. Mm-hmm. It's kind of... they should write a musical about Oklahoma, shouldn't they?
I know.
Yeah, they should do something big.
I think it would be really successful.
It would be great, wouldn't it? but you also mentioned Canada and Manitoba in mm-hmm. particular. And there was a particular kind of audience participation element of a song.
Yeah.
I just wonder how places have kind of affected your work, kind of, you know, sort of places you've lived in and travelled around. What influence have they had on you?
Well, tremendous amount, because, I mean, for about the past 8 or 9 years that I've been doing this, like, I say doing this, meaning when I started touring, I've kind of taken the opposite route that most musicians and bands do, which I think they kind of wait to be like discovered or something, and then they get their albums out and then someone puts a tour together for them, and they do that like once or twice a year or something. But like my whole life is basically driving around in a band and playing anything from like big theaters to tiny sort of in-store things like this. I mean, like, I really started doing all of this because I wanted to, I really romanticized the idea of like the troubadour sort of thing, you know.
And it's not all showbiz, is it?
No, it's not, but that's what I like about it. Like, I like the traveling part. I like seeing different places. I like meeting different people. And so places are probably like the main thing I write about. And I'm particularly drawn to like the middle of the country of where I'm from. So that's like the Manitoba and Oklahoma, Santa Fe. I like the Old West, you know. I like the idea of that, the frontier, because it still exists. It's not like all built up and everything. There's still just so much expansive space. I really like that. So I end up writing a lot about it, I think.
Now, when you mentioned Winnipeg and Manitoba, there was one man that sprung into my mind. One famous man who wears a hat and is known as kind of Old Shaky. You know what I'm talking about. We're talking about Neil Young. Is Neil Young an influence on you? Is he kind of...
Yeah, he's one of the biggest ones, I'd say. I dressed up like Neil Young for Halloween when I was 9. Wow. And I'm a girl.
Wow. So what kind of stage was that? Was that his... It wasn't his electronic phase, was it?
No, I mean, even if that's...
Classic Neil Young.
Yeah, even if that was what he was doing at the time, I don't even know what he would have been doing, what his records were in the 90s. I was, like, thinking about him, his, like, image as... I don't know, after the gold rush, or like...
Did people know who you were when you were...
I don't think so. My dad, my mom and dad did. They generously let me dress up like that, I guess.
I think that one of the things you have in common with Neil Young is the voice. Your voice is unique. You know, Neil Young has a particular vocal approach.
Yeah.
I would describe your voice as very true. It's very kind of, you know, it's very connected to what you're singing about. Okay, it's not stylized. It's not added on. Others have described your voice... I've been doing my homework. Others have described your voice as quivering and emotive, and punk alto. Punk alto.
I haven't seen that.
That's a strange one. Yeah,
so I know. Because I'm not an alto.
No,
I'm a soprano.
I think it was Rolling Stone that just described you in that way. So,
that's okay.
But voice is important, isn't it? You know, obviously, kind of, you know, for an acoustic singer such as yourself, you know, primarily acoustic, you've got to get the right vocal match. It's quite difficult, isn't it? I imagine it's difficult making stories into songs. You know, kind of making the music fit your range, as you were.
Well, it's not as much anymore, I guess. Like because now I don't really write the short stories anymore. It just goes straight into like song form. Mm. So I've taken out that sort of idea, and I guess I've done enough albums up to this point where, I don't know, it's just become a more comfortable process to do that. But yeah, I think with the vocal thing, whenever I was first starting out, I would say I was probably like doing a bit more like imitating, just because I think that's what everybody does when they're learning. I really do, and if someone says that they're not, I would probably not believe them, because that's... I mean, imitation is like how you learn, I think. And so at that point, I was really into this singer named Karen Dalton, who is another Choctaw musician, believe it or not, a woman Choctaw folk musician, but of the 60s and 70s. And so But I was really into her at the time, so I think as I was learning to sing, I was kind of doing a lot more of this sort of bluesy sort of vocal thing. But then as I got comfortable with writing and comfortable with singing more, and it kind of evened out into just like whatever my natural voice is. And so what I've been doing, what I do now, is just whatever comes naturally to me. So
it sounds great, I have to say. Really,
thanks.
It really does sound great. So Kid Face, the new album, is out here. It's just come out, in fact. It's out about a week or so, but it's been out longer in the States.
Yeah, almost I think like 11 months. Yeah, it's been out for almost a year.
It's been really well received to date. It's got some real kind of plaudits, and you know, you've got some real kind of fame, not that you need them, but you've got some real famous people saying this is a great record, which is good. What's next? Are you working on the next album now?
Yeah, I've started writing some of the songs. I don't have any like specific plans for when I'm going into the studio. I have talked to John Vanderslice a little bit about maybe working with him again. We get along really great, and I really like how Kid Face turned out. So, yeah, I'm kind of just like in the beginning stages of figuring out what the next album's gonna be. I want to get all the songs written before I make any like big decisions about it. So, I've just been, because of the staggered releases of the one in the States and then over here, I've just been like on tour for the entire year, and so I haven't had a whole lot of like sit down with other musicians and like work out like actual parts for songs and stuff, and so I haven't had a whole lot of album planning time. But after this tour, I will have more time to do that in the spring. So
excellent. Well, I'll let you now get your pie. Do you know which pie you're having?
No, I haven't seen a menu yet.
Oh,
so.
Well, we'll let you choose a pie.
Okay,
here at Pie Well. It's been great to meet you.
Thank you.
Thanks very much for talking to me.
Thank you.
Thank you. I don't know how to. Ooh.
fades, feels like I'm running away. Babe, I know you see just how hard it is for me to unpack my clothes and shoes and stay right here with you. I don't know how to.
Hear more of the fantastic Samantha Crane, you can check out our Another Slice podcast on this very same website. Steve, now we're going to do some gazing into the crystal pie and look at stuff that's coming up in 2014.
You'll make me laugh.
That was the idea.
Right, composure. 2014, it's so weird because podcast must have loosely been going for about a year now, because I remember doing this last year. And we did actually speculate and guess that David Bowie would come back and release a record.
We did.
And Johnny Cash? No, we didn't.
There is a Cash thing coming out.
It's Roseanne Cash, yeah.
There's actually Johnny Cash coming out as well.
Yes, there is.
Right. Found under the floorboards.
Yeah.
With the guns and all the other things.
Yeah.
Some of the Cash family must have been
in the cave.
It broke.
There's one word to say. Cave. Cash.
Cash. Ka-ching.
Says it all. Anyway.
So I'm just going to... This is quite a personal list. So some of them are confirmed, some of them aren't. And I guess we can't really look any further forward than 6 months' time because, you know, there's all sorts of things that could come out of the woodwork. So I'm just going to go, I can't wait for the new Dive record. I love that Oshin record. Apparently this new one is influenced by Royal Trucks, a band I love. So very excited about that. EMA, Past Life Martyred Saints, that was one of my favourite records back in 2011. EMA's new record, The Future's Void, is out in April. Very much looking forward to that. Grimes, I still listen to that record, incredible. There's nothing confirmed as yet, but I think everyone, there's certainly the right signals being sent out that there is something on the way. Mac DeMarco with Salad Days, that's announced. Real Estate as well with Atlas, that's announced. Apparently a very, very good listen. Shellac, there's all sorts of rumours. Steve Albini, I think, has officially called it Dude Incredible, which you can imagine him saying.
That's a great title, isn't
it? It's a great title. And then there's a few others. I'm personally looking forward to the Solange records, St. Vincent. And I really, really have a strong feeling that Radiohead are going to release something this year. And I kind of hope it's got something to do with Jack White and Third Man Records.
So many rumours. Like an obsessive, I have to mention Neil Young, because there's a rumour of a Neil Young and Jack White cover versions album.
Right.
Collaboration, really? Which is supposedly
to come out. Can you imagine how loud that would be?
Man. Can you imagine at Hyde Park Jack White comes up? That's why it's £120 to get in. Jack White's playing.
Well, we didn't pay £120, did we? No. We got him for like a tenner each.
Bargain. Yeah.
Oh, well. Bargain. Okay, so good.
Yeah, that's mine.
Good selection.
Yeah.
Danny, what about you? Have you got stuff that you've been waiting for?
Well, not stuff I'm waiting. Well, stuff I'm waiting for, and kind of stuff I'll get when I have some cash.
Okay.
So first would be at the end of the month, the new. Well, it's the re-release of Max Richter's debut album, Memory House. Uh-huh. It's on Fat Cat Records. Max Richter is like a composer, classical music, but has worked with kind of Brian Eno, Ronnie Size in the past.
Yeah.
And he recently was commissioned to do the score for the installation at the Barbican with the Rain Project. You know, you walk into a room and it's raining and it stops as you walk. You can walk underneath it and it kind of adjusts itself to the presence, your presence in the room.
I've got a kitchen like that. When you walk in, it rains.
But just it carries on raining when you walk under it. Yeah,
it doesn't adjust. Yeah.
So he's and I just find his music just, it's kind of like. It reminds me of I'm going to use this pronunciation of his name, Avril Part. It kind of very cinematic, incredibly moving, and kind of Johnny Greenwood-esque as well. So he's bringing out his debut album Memory House on like a deluxe reissue. So I'm looking to get to that at the end of the month. Young Father's new record Dead on Anticon comes out. I don't know, Steve, when does that come out?
I think it's out on February the 10th, but I need to check.
Right, yeah, I mean,
it's soon.
I don't know if anyone here captured their, you know, take two release. There was take one on Anticon as well, and I just like bowled over by that band, to be honest. It's kind of like experimental hip hop, so they're really at home at Anticon, and it's, to me, they're like Glaswegian kind of Fela Kuti weird outfit. I think they're a three piece, and it's kind of like jazz, African music, hip hop, bit of soul.
Wow.
And it's just really interesting to listen to, and it's not cliched at all. It's kind of really, sometimes has a genuine feel to it. I'm really looking forward to the new record because Take Two is fantastic. I'm looking forward to the Wild Beasts records, Present Tense. I'm a late comer to the Wild Beast party, to be honest, so I'm just really keen to get that record.
I'm still outside waiting to get in, so maybe I'll pop my cherry on that record.
Yeah.
Keep banging the door, they say, don't they?
Yeah.
And I organised my, I had a big clean out at the end of the year, and organised my CD collection, the old CDs.
Yeah, I remember those, they were popular, weren't they?
Yeah, and I was just really, actually, to be honest, just quickly, outside now, I was really pleased about my collection of CDs. I thought I had a terrible collection, but I have a really good collection of CDs, and I came across Mutations by Beck and put it on my iPod, and just forgot how good that record was, and so I'm really looking forward to the new record Morning Phase, because that's an acoustic record, isn't it, meant to be heavily acoustic.
Indeed, it's very similar to Sea Change.
Yeah,
that's what they're saying. I've not heard it. I've heard the song once, I think, on Radio 6. Yeah, it's great, you know. At least he's actually released physical album as opposed to scripture. And
I mean, I was just really gutted, as someone who doesn't read music, I was just really gutted that I couldn't enjoy that album when it came out. So,
but I loved what he did with that, to be honest.
But I'm just looking forward to putting it on my record player and checking it out. And the last one, because Guardian Alien is this month, so they're the ones, and the Radiohead, whatever happens with them, I'm looking forward to that.
Let's grab that when it comes out on its double clear vinyl format in a carry bag. Yeah. Was that the last one? I can't remember.
Hanging off a lamppost somewhere in Camden.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Rad, what about you? What are you gazing at across the horizon?
As well as being just excited about those releases, as the guys, I'm kind of pumped for Jim Jarmusch's soundtrack for Only Lovers Left Alive. It's film's coming out in April, I believe. It's been played at the Cannes Film Festival. It's gone down a hit. It looks kind of interesting.
What's the name of the film again?
It's called Only Lovers Left Alive. I think it's about vampires, in essence.
We all like vampires, don't we?
Hopefully not sparkly ones, but you know, fingers crossed there. It'd be a good flick. But they released an EP of the soundtrack thus far this month, and I really, really like that. And Jim Jarmusch's Squirrel stuff is really exciting me at the moment, and that band are playing on that, so I'm looking forward to that. I think that comes out on February 17th, I think. And then the other record I'm really excited for is co-founder of Arts and Crafts and Broken Social Scene, Kevin Drew's second solo album. Broken Social Scene has been a band that I have had an affinity with for a long time, so yeah, I'm really, really excited. To be honest, you know, I think the last record he released, I wasn't as kind of bowled over by it as I hoped to be and expected to be, but I still love it nevertheless, and now I think this album's going to have a similar effect on me, so I'm really excited about that.
Excellent. Well, there's a couple of things I'm looking forward to. I'm not maybe as excited as Rad, but you know, we can get there, can't we? The St. Vincent album, which there's a couple of singles of, I think, kicking around at the moment, but the St. Vincent album I'm quite interested in, quite intrigued by. It sounds as though she's still kind of in the David Byrne mode. The last record she made with David Byrne, I think, is fantastic. You know, it's kind of a real mix of brass band, rock and roll, world themes, okay? Go out and find it if you haven't listened to it already.
Yeah.
Bombay Bicycle Club have got a new record called So Long, See You Tomorrow, which I think is a great title. You know, it'd be a good title for an autobiography, maybe. I might get
what you're saying.
And also, Beck, Daniel mentioned, I'm quite intrigued by that one. And Broken Bells.
Broken Bells.
They've got a track, they've got a record coming out called After the Disco.
Yeah, out on Monday, as is Bombay Bicycle Club, February the 3rd. Yeah.
See, I can get excited very quickly,
yeah.
As you know.
Visit Click and Collect and reserve your copy now.
There we are. It's a great plug. You're listening to the Piecast from Pie and Vinyl, coming to you from the shop, soaking up the atmosphere, and really just capturing what we've been listening to so far this year and stuff that's coming up. But also excitingly, Steve, you've got some, I suppose, exclusive information on in-store performances.
Yeah.
He doesn't sound as excited.
That was a great little... You really built that up. And,
you're going to knock it down.
Well... You know, there will be installs in February and most definitely March as well. And it's the guys we got interested in March playing in the in-store are very big artists, but are slightly different than the kind of artists we usually attract, which is fine. February, all I can say is have a look and see who's playing in the city. One or two of those will probably be playing in here. And that's, I hate to let people down. That's why I don't say
these are big names
until it happens. They're pretty big names. It's a big deal to some people. So... yeah, you know, it, as always, we try our best. We try and get the biggest in, and we constantly try and raise our profile.
Who else are we coaxing? Who else are we waving biscuits in front of? Or pies, even?
John Lennon,
he'd be good.
Peter Kay.
Yeah, to be honest, yeah, Matt Berry. I'd love Matt Berry's coming.
Get Matt Berry.
Yeah. Well, watch your space. With Record Store Day coming up as well on April the 19th, you know, I am trying everything I can. Again, I don't want to sound ridiculous with some of the people I have tried. We try and keep it as exciting as possible.
There will be some fantastic in-store performances coming
there will, that's all I can
here
say.
At
yeah.
Pie and Vinyl.
Yeah.
And we should also mention the recently extended Pie and Vinyl. We now have more space for sweaty bodies to dance around to funky music.
Yeah,
I think that's how you sell it in the newspaper.
We just dance and dance and dance and sweat as well. Yes, we do. Yeah, more space and it's brilliant. Come and see us.
Okay, let's finish by talking about some pies. Sweet pies, sweetie pies coming up.
We do. I mean, you know, I guess first of all, I just wanted to chuck in a little plug with Valentine's Day coming up. We've got an event called Van Halentine's Day where we will promise to play you the best power ballads where you sit there and have a romantic meal for two or three or four, however many partners you have.
Did it take a lot of time to come up with that?
It took us, how long have we been over? 2 years.
It's not to be confused with Van Helsingtine's Day.
Oh,
that's next year.
He's still on that vampiric kick, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he's looking a bit wide today. So yeah, we're fully booked between 7 and 8, but we do have bookings between the hours of 6 p.m. and 7 p.m. So yeah, if you want to book a table, we'll be doing special share of pies for two on the night. We'll be doing some special Valentine's Day related pies, and also our fantastic friends at Sweetie Pie will be offering a special edition cherry pie, which I think Daniel's probably best placed to talk about that.
Yeah, well, in front of us we have got, they were baked yesterday and they've been knocked about in my car, but they taste great. And they are our limited edition.
Not each pie is going to be knocked about in Daniel's car. We have to just state that.
He's always in his car, listening to music.
It's Neil Young that's done it. So they are You Are My Cherry Pie, limited edition cherry and pecan pies. And they're gluten-free vegan. They've got an almond crust with a cherry and pecan filling and a coconut cream lid on the top.
They look fantastic.
They taste good.
Can we share them with the listeners now?
You can. Yeah, I've already had about six.
Test. Yeah.
I've had about six this week already, so I literally can't eat anymore. Okay. I've already eaten the cherries that are on the plate.
Is that why you only bought three spoons?
Yes.
Brad, are you going to indulge?
I'll die straight
on. Do that bit they do on MasterChef where they stick the spoon in, they look at it and they go,
hit the spoon there.
Grab your
spoon. Directly, left or right?
Whichever one you want. There's a big one for the listeners. There's a 4-inch pie, which will be, I think, available at the shop here. For two to share.
And that will exclusively be the first 4-inch available at Pye and Vinyl.
It will, actually, yeah.
Well, usually 7 and 12 inches, but this time, and the occasional 10, but now we're going for a 4-inch.
So, yeah, we're going to be supplying Pye and Vinyl with these, and they're all gluten-free and vegan, and we will also be supplying them through our, well, I suppose, our Facebook page, I guess you could say.
It's going
awesome. So, Rad...
It's in the mouth of Rad.
It's been a busy time at Sweetie Pie because we've recently developed a banana cream pie as well for an art exhibition that's going to be here in March for the private viewing.
Can I just say, James, Steve, you're not having any more of that. It's phenomenal. It's phenomenal.
Right, I mean, so I will say, Steve's already had two of these.
You've got to make sure they're right, though, you know, you've got to.
Prior to this meeting.
Where was I? I was left out.
I did actually leave scraps for the staff. Whether they actually got to you or not, I don't know. I don't think they made it past the counter.
That's an excellent pie. Mm. So get in, check out some of the Sweetie Pie pies that are now available at Pye and Vinyl.
Yeah,
indeed.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about gluten free and the fact that our Pye and Vinyl pies are all gluten free in the shop now. I mean, that's a big commitment we've made to do that. We've got a great range of meats with gluten-free pastry. We also offer completely vegan pies. I believe, you know, one of our objectives was to be the leading kind of food destination for celiacs, vegans, vegetarians in Southsea. And, you know, if you, for example, went to Brighton, they're everywhere. In Southsea, you don't really see it too often.
A bit of a vacuum, really, isn't there, I think, in that
yeah, I think so. Area. It just seems to me that people are so aware of what they eat nowadays, they put into their bodies, offering these kind of products are really important to us. I mean, there's a lot of people out there.
And I don't think I think it's nice to show as well, you don't have to sacrifice taste.
No, you don't.
Taking the gluten out of the, you know, out of the product. And that's kind of why Sweetie Pie do what we do, because as a vegan and a celiac, the market is pretty bare, right? You know, you're kind of excluded from desserts. That's why we did sweet pies, and it's really nice to have, you know, there's not many places in Portsmouth, I think I can count them on probably one hand, where I can go and have, as a celiac and a vegan, can go and actually have a meal without actually worrying what's in it and checking the menu, checking the recipes. I can eat and actually enjoy what I'm eating as well, you know. It's just really nice, and I think more places should do it. And I'm just chuffed that, you know, that Pye and Vinyl now do dessert and savoury.
I think sometimes people are put off by those labels, vegan and celiac.
I think so, yeah. It's
I can confirm that's good pie.
Yeah,
that's
I've been good quiet pie. For a while because I've been consuming it. I've been a good third of that
it's
pie.
Really gone, right.
Brad has filled his beard.
I'm a meat-eating, dairy-loving machine, and that pie is phenomenal. All right,
thank you very much.
Yeah, regardless of what it's got in it or doesn't have in it. It's kosher and it tastes brilliant.
I'm not sure if it's kosher.
Maybe not kosher. Yeah, maybe wrong choice of words there, right?
It's kosher pies.
Legal disclaimer,
it's
may
excellent.
Not be kosher, but it certainly is phenomenal and really tasty. So, yeah.
So cool. Come down to the shop, check those out, have a taste of those. What else have we got just before we sign off?
Yeah, I think that's it. I mean, we've had a great January. We've had Mary Epworth, we've had Samantha Crane, so it's great to kick off the year with two fascinating in-stores, very good quality in-stores, and for those guys that came along to experience it, hopefully you enjoy the new space. We've got a lot more planned up our sleeves, and we're very excited for 2014. So, yeah, we love you guys. Keep supporting us, and we'll try our best to keep giving you back great things.
Thank you for listening.
That's excellent stuff. Well, thanks to Steve, to Daniel, and to Rad. And we're going to play out very excitingly with the new single that she's released from her album. It's called Snow Queen. Okay, and you can check out a fuller version of the interview and some more of her tracks on the Another Slice podcast. But until you get time to do that, look at pyeandvinyl.co.uk for all the exciting things that are going on in the store. Here's Mary Epworth.